Hey, before we get started, gotta go ahead and pay the bills around here. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. I've got two books out. I know, you're probably thinking if this is the first time you've heard of me or the first time you've actually heard me in a while. My God, Remso can read? Yeah, I can read and write. And if you're my ninth grade English teacher, guess what? I can do it in freaking English too. Because unlike my name, all I know is English. Oh, blowing your mind and blow the minds of those around you with my two books, Stay Away from the Libertarians, as well as my newest novel, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Those are, I gotta go for the shorter titles. Stay Away from the Libertarians and How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Available on my website, rwmartinez.com, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Check them out. How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship and Stay Away from the Libertarians. Available. Well, you know how the internet works. You can go ahead and find it yourself. Pick them up today in print and digital and help support the show. And, Hey, I like making money. I'm not gonna say no. Everything comes back here. Help me out. Buy my books. That's all. That's about it. Move with the rhythm. Shake it up. Stop when the clock hits 13. You've been working, but you're flirting with the weekend. You can freak out. One in a million. You're a gem shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it.
All right, so it's November 2018. I'm 23 years old. I don't have two pennies to run together, and I'm working for minimum wage up to 30 hours a week, like less than that, because whatever the threshold to where you're working full time, I was like just below that. Oh, and I'm making minimum wage, which in Virginia, as I learned the hard way, is $7.25. I thought it was $7.75, but there I was. College graduate, best-selling author, had a lot of cool shit under my belt, working minimum wage. My supervisor was a 16-year-old girl on some days of the week when I showed up. And I remember just after Black Friday, about a week before my birthday, I'm cashing out this one family. Father, mother, like three kids running around the store. And one of the kids comes over, a cash register, watches parents pay for the video game, and he sees my college ring on my right hand. And he looks at it, and he's like, what's that? And I'm like, that's my college ring. He's like, oh, where'd you go? And I said, I went to Liberty University. He's like, if you went to college, what are you doing here? And that killed me. And you knew from the look of his parents that they were embarrassed, but I didn't want to make a scene of the situation. One of my bosses was behind me. I was already in a not-so-friendly state, but like most employees that work retail, I faked a smile. And I looked at the kid, and I said, I'm here working because when you're an adult, you have to work, and that's that. I let it go, and I didn't think about it for another couple of days. But about a week later, I was thinking about it again, and I was just not in a very good place. Apart from that, a friend had called me who had been looking for work because she was also unemployed at the time. She had just recently graduated from school the prior semester, so she was taking some time off to look for full-time work. And I had been throwing some opportunities at her because I was on a bunch of different job boards. I was constantly applying for other part-time work while I was continuing my search for a full-time job. And she called me and she said, hey, Remso, you don't have to send me things anymore. And I was like, oh, well, did you find a job? Great job. What are you doing? And she's like, well, my dad told me not to apply for a part-time job. And I was kind of confused. I'm like, oh, why would he do that? And he said, well, he's afraid that people that work part-time jobs are settling and that they're most likely going to stay there, and it'll prevent me from getting a better-paying full-time job to start my career in whatever I do. And long story short, she was basically not intentionally calling me a loser, but her dad was basically calling me a loser. And I think it's funny, too, because her boyfriend, who was one of my best friends, was ironically working part-time as a shelf as a, you know, he was stocking shelves at another store up the road from me. So I said, okay, that's fine. And it bugged me. And at that point, I'm already at a low point. I'm getting yelled at by customers. Kids are asking what the hell is wrong with me. And that call did not make me feel better. For a lot of people, not finding work after school and being unemployed for a prolonged amount of time is one of the hardest things most people will go through. Unemployment is always hard, but after you've just spent years working towards a degree, and, you know, like me, I was working every summer, every semester, part-time, doing something, it really did bother me. And at that point, I was also in financial ruin. I was not doing good. I had no money to my name. I had just finished up the podcast. I just ended my political business. So at this point, this was the only income I had coming in. And honestly, as I look back at that time working at GameStop, that was one of the best times for me to grow as a person, because I realized at my lowest point, I had never been working that hard, because it was a lot of freaking work. I had never been working that hard to earn so little. I almost felt like I was taking 20 steps backwards from the progress I thought I was making. But here's another situation. I meet up with a friend of mine for lunch. We're talking. We haven't seen each other in about a year. And he is also unemployed. Like me, he's also living with his parents. Unlike me, though, he was not trying to really work. And he was applying for jobs, but not at the rate that I was, which was be on ZipRecruiter for a few hours a day, go on LinkedIn, do all that stuff. He was more confident because he felt like headhunters were going to find him. Except the uncomfortable part of it was, you know, I asked him, what are they going to say when they see a year gap in your resume? And he was like, well, they'll understand. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do for your bills? My bills are covered. And I looked at him, I'm like, your bills are covered? He's like, yeah, I just charge everything on the credit card. And it freaked me out because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how much debt, how much interest is that credit card? How much are you spending on that? We were at a pretty expensive place. I ordered a salad, not because I was looking out for my health, but because it was the cheapest thing on there. And ironically, he ended up paying for the meal. But it was another one of those moments where I was like, am I doing something wrong? What has led me here? Here's the truth about when you're unemployed and you're working part-time. And this goes for everything. And I think that I have a little bit more of authority on this compared to most people, because during that time between when I started working full-time in 2019 to when I ended my podcast originally and when I ended my political career 2017-2018, I had been a mall cop working for $11.25 an hour part-time in Reston. I was an intern making $12.50, working 50 hours a week in Arlington. Then I was selling makeup for around, I want to say like $800 a week, but if you missed a day or something, or if you were a little late, you lost your base pay, so you only made commission. One week when I was selling makeup, I worked 60 hours and I only made $50. And when you count food and gas and everything, I was actually about $100 in the hole. And then there was GameStop in between that. Believe it or not, GameStop was actually one of the better experiences. But the thing is, and you need to remember this, there is dignity in all work. Now, fast forward to now, I don't forget those things, and sometimes I still think on those moments in my life. I make a full-time salary now, full-time benefits. I live within my means. I make sure that there's more money at the end of the month instead of more month at the end of the money, so to speak. And as I mentioned a few episodes ago, I restarted an online copywriting business I have. I'm doing that part-time, so I'm only working with a couple clients during the hours of the day since I work at night that I have time to do this. Apart from that, I also, I do those dollar inbox things where you earn points reading emails and you answer surveys for like pennies. Like, you know, I do that. I rate and review music for slicethepie.com where you can make up to about like 10 bucks a week. I still earn royalties from my book. So basically, I'm still doing stuff for money, even though I have a part-time job, because I have the time to do it. What I learned during those times working part-time was that your money can either just satisfy the upfront costs of your life, or you can work really hard and make it work for you. I'm trying to invest. I'm trying to save. This is something that's alien to a lot of friends of mine who are my age, who are also very educated people, who don't understand that. They think I'm being paranoid about things. But here's the truth. I actually don't even own a credit card. Well, actually, I think I own a credit card. It's locked away somewhere. I only pay for things in cash. I try and work out deals where I pay for a lot of things up front. I don't have really much debt to worry about. And I save a lot more than I spend. A friend of mine has a job which makes about 20 grand more than me. He was a smart guy, STEM guy. He wants to buy an expensive car. And I asked him, why? You're already spending a lot on gas. If you buy this expensive sports car, you're going to have to spend more on gas. Are you going to get a part-time job to pay for that? And he's like, no, I can because I can. And I'm like, just because you can now doesn't mean it's not going to negatively impact you later. You're competing with people who will never pay your bills, who won't be there for you if you're unemployed again, and you're trying to put yourself in a hole. You're not just what you take in. You are what you owe. You are your debt at the end of the day. You're not really how much money you make. You are really how much you owe to banks, to creditors, to other people. Apart from that, I also have friends that went straight from getting a bachelor's degree to either postgraduate school or law school. Some of them work. Some of them don't. They think that because they are smarter people, and they're all incredibly smart, accomplished people, they don't have as much work experience that I think most people realize afterwards that you should probably have, and you're also going into an inflated field, that your debt's going to snowball and snowball and snowball. Dave Ramsey talks about this all the time, and they just think, oh, well, it's okay. It will just pay itself off eventually. Well, that's very optimistic thinking. I thought by the time I graduated school, I'd be working full time because I thought I was the shit. I thought I would be making a ton of money because I'm so smart. People are going to love me because I'm so credentialed. And I needed to know how bad things can be to eventually appreciate how good things can be. And why am I saying this? Because there are a lot of younger people that listen to me and read my articles and stuff. And one of the great things I appreciate from a lot of the experiences I have is the opportunity to take moments to mentor people who are still in college. And the thing that you need to know, despite everything, you need to live within your means. You need to delay gratification. You need to save anything. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how much percent to change. I'm not a financial expert. You need to basically understand that what you put out, you also got to put back in. And you are not your job. We place a lot of emphasis on our careers. We place a lot of emphasis on what we do. But so that means when you're not doing something really great, you think that that is who you are. I never identified myself as the mall cop. I never identified myself as the cashier. I never identified myself as the makeup guy. But in those moments where I did, momentarily, because it wasn't a whole mindset, but there were moments where I did, I felt terrible about myself. The best thing that I can lend to other people is to not let your job be your sole identity. If you find only happiness in what the outward world sees, you're going to be miserable, absolutely miserable. Because if you're my age, I'm 25 now, here's the ultimate thing. Social Security's not going to be there for you when you're 65. The inflation rate's going out of control, despite what everyone else says on the news. You're going to have to save more, and that means working more. There is no shame in working a full-time job and getting a part-time job. There's no shame in driving a cheaper car if it's paid off. What's all this going towards? When you start to owe the things you own, the things you own you. And I am afraid when I see people that are making these ridiculous moves, like buying that giant expensive car, like not saving that, like living off credit cards. It's terrifying. And I only bring that up because I'm not trying to sound like a prude, but I don't want to see other people that I care about living this way. There's dignity in work. Don't let your money own you. Own your money. This is about freedom. I've been listening to a lot of Dave Ramsey, which is why I'm kind of, you know, echoing a lot of his sentiments. But, I mean, he says something which is a mantra that I've been having to repeat to myself recently. Work hard now. Work like no one else so you can live like no one else. And that is powerful when you think about it. That is incredibly powerful. There was a guy who came to Liberty University speak at convocation. He was a millionaire, and he was signing copies of his book. And around that time, I only have a few weeks of the semester left. Broke, no job aspirations. I'm moving back home. I'm not in a happy state of mind. I was offered one job, though, in Lynchburg if I had chosen to stay. And it was to work full-time as a Starbucks barista. And I was not going to do that. I was ungrateful for the offer because it would have at least been a full-time job with some benefits, but I thought I was above it. And when I went over to have my book signed from this guy, he asked me, so what are you doing after school? Because he asked me when I'm graduating, and I'm like a couple weeks, and he's like, oh, so what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't really know. I've only gotten one job offer. And he was like, well, what job offer is that? And I said, I was offered to work full-time at Starbucks. And he looked me in the eyes and said, you be the best Starbucks employee ever. And I took that book and I left the building and I threw it away because I was offended. I was just so completely insulted because I took that as my worth is only that of a Starbucks barista. Years later, having worked shittier jobs than a Starbucks barista, I've had opportunities that have been provided me to excel, develop as a person, and succeed by people who were my bosses and supervisors when I was taking the jobs that most people are embarrassed to admit that they took. And those opportunities only came because they saw my work ethic and they saw that despite the circumstances, I came into things with a positive attitude and I never half-assed things. When he said, be the best, you know, barista ever, it wasn't necessarily like you're going to only do that, be good at it at least. What he was basically saying, and this is what I would have learned if I had paid attention to his speech then instead of being on my phone, I have ended up watching it a few years later. If you're going to do something, at least put your back into it. And what that essentially means is if you're going to do anything, if you're going to do a job, do the job well. Justify you being there, justify the money that's going towards you, and be grateful for that. First couple jobs, I was not. Later, I found out I might as well be good at it, because when I was working at GameStop specifically, I needed more hours than I was getting. I was at first, the first couple weeks, I was only working like maybe 8-16 hours. I wanted to go up to the amount offered for seasonal employees, so you better believe. First month, I was like the number one salesman. During that month, I made sure to have customers I spoke to fill out surveys. I had more surveys than any other seasonal employee. My boss let me work more hours at the main store, and he also gave me a second store about 15 minutes away at another location where I also worked there. He upgraded me a cashier instead of just a shelf stalker, so then I had more opportunities because of that. And at the end of that time, this January 2019, they had offered me to basically become a full-time GameStop employee. And the way things were working, I would have eventually been a store manager within 6 months. I said no because what I did was I started my online copywriting business, which was actually, you know, picking up and doing well. I also thought I wanted to get into real estate at the time. But none of those opportunities to happen, none of those opportunities to work more, make more, save more would have happened if I had been like some of the other seasonal employees and just slacked and looked angry. And ironically, I was also the oldest. Actually, I think the oldest person was a full-time teacher who was only working part-time on the weekends. But, you know, it was he didn't really do much. It was the weekend, so a ton of people are there. He just had to stand around and look productive. But eventually, these were all those things that made me more grateful for the opportunities I would have. And because I know how difficult things can be, it makes me more appreciative for the things I have. And that is a sense of peace and happiness that I don't think many people either understand at a younger age or will just never understand to begin with. Because I know plenty of, you know, much older adults who are just not grateful for the things that they're blessed with. So if you're a college kid and you want to know how to apply for jobs, you want to, some advice on, you know, all I can offer is I can offer copywriting, journalism, or politics. I'm more than happy to tell you my mistakes and my opportunities and the things that I did and didn't do, so maybe I can guide you. But these are the lessons that I can definitely pass on with the experience. Live within your means. Don't live on credit. There's dignity in all work. And if you're going to do something, you might as well do it well. These are things that our parents told us growing up that I certainly didn't appreciate until I was in the thick of it. And I'm just hoping that maybe if you respect a little bit of what I say, maybe you can prevent yourself from making a lot of the hard decisions and going through a lot of the challenges I had to go through. So that's about it. I'm off to work for another great day at the Washington Times. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook at Hey Remso, HeyRamso, and I will talk to you later. Have a great day. We got the rise up.